Hey guys, it's Jen. This summer, our design community and the world lost an incredible soul too soon, our very own Gisele Field. The following episode was recorded prior to this summer, and it is my honor, with the blessing of Gisele's family, to release them for the benefit of our community, her friends and family, and anyone who wishes to hear her beautiful voice again.
Hey guys, I'm Jen, owner of Hello June Creative.
And I'm Gisele, owner of Wander Design Co. Welcome to Better, the Brand Designer Podcast.
We love being transparent, honest, and down to earth on this podcast. We consider you guys such an important part of our episodes.
We're all about broadcasting conversations that support our design community, uncovering industry secrets, and offering actionable advice.
Just remember, the only designer you need to be better than
is the one you were yesterday.
Welcome back to Better the Brand Designer Podcast. We're so excited to be hanging out with you guys today, and we have a really important and exciting guest with us. Her name is Kelsey Kerslake from Pine Gate Road, and Kelsey is a multi-passionate CEO of two companies, Pine Gate Road and The Aligned Business. Kelsey has been helping entrepreneurs and businesses build their brands and market their online presences for over a decade. She is a business strategist, coach, and mentor for service providers, coaches, and educators looking to scale their online businesses in complete alignment with the lives they want to live and the values they hold. She deeply believes that everyone has the potential to make their dreams reality, and her businesses help online business owners define their future vision and literally bring it to life through coaching, strategy, design, and websites. Welcome, Kelsey. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
We are so excited to have you.
Thank you for having me. I am so excited to be here. And yeah, I've been loving hearing about it from Gisele for forever. And I can't believe I'm here. Yes.
I know. I'm so excited to have you on the podcast and talk about all the goodies that you've taught me. And just, I mean, there's not going to be enough time ever, but at least we can dive in a little bit.
Yes,
Gisele, I'm excited.
Do you want to share how you and Kelsey met and what y'all's relationship is?
Yeah, I love this story actually, because it's a really great indication of how well Kelsey portrays herself and like builds her business. So I first got introduced to Kelsey through one of the online summits like a couple years ago probably. And I was really impressed by how she like, and we'll talk a little bit about your story, Kelsey, but how she started working for a different company for a long time and then took Pine Gate Road on the side for a few years until she finally made it full time. And since then, like figured things out and just like created the life that she wanted, where she really built her business to support her life. And that's exactly what I was looking for. And she really got me when she was like, I only work like 15 hours a week or something like that and is making all this money. And I was just like, I need to know more about this woman. So I started listening to her podcast too and was just like almost ready, like that little meme, like, come here, take my money. So Kelsey and I had a conversation on Instagram DMs, like over voiceover, and she basically like let me know that the mastermind, which we'll talk more about as well, might be a good choice for me. And then that's basically how we got started with that.
Yeah. You were actually the first student. It was something I was like bringing to life. And I think, I mean, you bought off of a Google Doc, which was really funny, but I was like, here's this new thing. It's like the next level of our academy. But yeah, like you, it was just so fun, like getting to know you. And thank you for trusting the stranger on the internet.
Yeah. Well, thank you for showing up online as yourself and like providing so much value even before like I paid any money. So I think that has a lot to say. And on top of that, one of the big things that Kelsey taught me is start before you're ready, which is just proving like, you know, she started her mastermind before she had a whole sales page going and I was ready to sign up. So that says a lot too.
That's so encouraging. It's one of my favorite things to hear. And I don't know, I love hearing about how you guys met. I love like little meet cute stories like that. I think that like I feel like there's just so many business coaches out there, but Kelsey, I really feel like your following and like your content in particular it just gives off this really like authentic vibe to me. And like, I know that word is like really like buzzy, but I don't know. I just wanted to say that. So y'all should go follow her on Instagram.
Yes. And let's start off with our intro question.
Yes.
So I had a hard time writing this one down, but I think everybody can talk about food forever. So it's kind of an easy one, maybe. You're having a busy day and didn't have time for a big breakfast or lunch. What is your go-to work snack?
Yeah. So I actually get the egg bites at Starbucks. That's my favorite thing ever.
The sous vide like egg bites. I like had to Google what that meant, but like they're really good and they're really big too. They look big.
Yeah, they're so good. And I mean, I get them way too much. but that's always a good go-to because they're like so full of protein. They can be a breakfast or a lunch or a snack or whatever. And they're amazing.
Oh, that's a really good one.
Fancier than what my answer was.
What's yours, Jen?
Well, I have like a really young baby. And so we always have Cheerios in our house. And so I will literally take the box of Cheerios. I mean, this is like a snack. Like I will just eat the Cheerios out of the box, especially if they're Honey Nut. That's like my real reality, like go-to snack. Sometimes I'll put them on yogurt or something, but yeah, I'm not ashamed. It's okay.
Nice. Yeah. Go ahead, Kelsey.
Oh, I eat our baby's like yogurt packs, like the little sticks, go-gurts or whatever. I'm like, I just grab those sometimes.
Those are good. Yeah. I'm excited for a writer to get old enough to like eat fun snacks like that, because right now I'm not eating his baby food, but I will eat his snacks when he's a toddler.
Hey, every once in a while I'll go and buy like Gerber just because I want to eat some of that. And it's like the banana one's my favorite, but it's really weird. But sometimes I have that craving.
I do that too. Yeah. I eat like, so all of those things are like organic. They're like apples and spinach. And I'm like, I buy the baby food packs and eat them. My husband thought I was the weirdest because I was doing this before, like we ever had a baby.
Right. Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, now it seems kind of normal because I have a baby. And
yeah, now you have an excuse.
Like naturally. Yeah.
I do it so too. Yummy. They're like little smoothies that you can just, anyways, we're all really weird. Sorry guys.
I think my go-to snack for a long time has been chips and salsa, but lately I've been really into apples and I eat a ton of granola bars on the weekends. So I have a lot of granola bars, but I avoid those like the plague during like times that I'm actually working just because I eat so many of them when I'm outside like climbing and stuff like that. So I definitely got to add some protein to my snacks. That would be great.
No, I love that. So if you want to add protein to like your apples, wait, does cheese have protein in it? Yeah, I think it does.
Yeah.
Maybe. Ooh. Oh, it's more fat. I don't know.
Yeah.
And nutritionists out there, send help. But like,
yeah.
Little like cubes of like cheddar cheese and eat them with apples. That's another snack that I love if I'm having apples, because I love apples too. But anyways.
Well, okay. So let's jump back into our awesome guest, Kelsey. We're both really excited to have Kelsey on. Jen, you met Kelsey before as well through Clubhouse. Do you want to quickly speak about that?
Yeah, sure. No, I mean, of course I knew of Kelsey because of the amazing things that Giselle, you were saying about her, and especially like how she kind of was there for you during a really difficult time in your life and in your business. Mm-hmm. Like, I was just like, wow, like this person just really, really cares about her students. And, you know, I think I followed you on Instagram, Kelsey. And then I think I saw that you were on a Clubhouse room and you were like, oh, I'm just like taking a walk. And I thought I'd go to Clubhouse. I was like, wait, this is so cool and chill and like laid back. And so we chatted on there. And I think that's where I was like, dude, you should just come on our podcast. And you're like,
yeah. No, I think I awkwardly was like, can I come on it? Can you have me as a guest, like in front of everybody?
Oh my gosh. I always want to invite people to be on the podcast, but I don't want it to be awkward in case they like don't want to be on it. So I generally like don't say it like in front of people in case I get rejected. But I'm very glad that you like asked because I was already thinking it.
I am so like open to rejection at this point because I'm just like, what do I have to lose? Like, I don't know. Like, I'm like, they can just say no, it's fine, but I'll always just go for it.
That's great. No, and I think that also embodies like probably like one of the biggest values that you have that Giselle was talking about earlier, is that like that you taught her to start before she's ready. And I think that that is such a valuable lesson. And so I feel like that can apply too to like sales calls, or, you know, if you're thinking about a course launch, or, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, mentorship, like there's so many things that can hold you back. And like, I don't know, I think that mentality is just really, really good to have, especially in entrepreneurship.
Absolutely. And
also with kids, like you're never ready to have kids. That was one thing people ask me sometimes. How would you know you were ready to have kids? I was like, I was not ready.
I think if you actually feel ready for something, like you've missed it, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, that kind of leads us into like learning more, Kelsey, about your background and kind of like how you got to where you are. Do you want to tell our listeners just kind of more about your story?
Yeah, sure. So I think Giselle shared a little bit about it, but I had started my business as a lifestyle blog back in 2011. And I have graphic design as my background. That's what I went to school. I have my BFA and MFA in that. And so I knew how to design, but I had no idea how to do business. Like so many of us who maybe start in the design world. And so I never thought I could like run my own business. And I went in to work for corporate right out of grad school. And then I just kept kind of growing my business as a side hustle. I was only there for about 3 years, but by the time I started in corporate, I started taking my business a little more seriously. I had real packages and, you know, like we had clients, I had clients consistently for a really long time. And by my third year in corporate, I'd started getting so many inquiries that I actually had to hire out some of the work. So that was kind of my first foray into like, okay, in order to scale, we probably need to have more team. Like I don't physically have enough time to do everything that we're getting. And I don't want to block opportunities that will actually grow our business. So I think that was kind of unique because a lot of designers are like, oh, I can't wait to be booked out, right? And that was definitely something I never want to be booked out. I want to keep expanding and growing and giving more opportunities to amazing designers who I can work with. So I had a small team. And then that third year in corporate, my business was actually making more than my corporate salary. And I was like, okay, I should probably take the leap. I had a couple other health things happen along the same time that really forced me to get serious about like living the life I actually wanted. And I knew that corporate life where I was working a 9-to-5, I was working on other people's schedules and timelines and all of those things was just not going to align with the future life that I wanted. So I made the decision to leave and go out on my own and run my business full time. So that is kind of the origin of how it got started. And we have really, you know, I grew and scaled from there. I had a terrible first year on my own, which was really the catalyst for starting some of my coaching that I now do, because I was like, nobody needs to go through the hardship that was like me not knowing how to run a business that first year. So
can you tell us more about that? Cause I think a lot of our listeners are kind of in that space where they're realizing that they can work from home and that they can have a side hustle. A lot of them have full-time jobs still. So tell us about that first year. I'm curious myself.
Oh my gosh. Well, if you want to go all the way back, I have a podcast and I actually started my podcast like the week I quit my job. So there's out there.
It's like an online diary.
It is. Oh my gosh. So that's really funny you say that. I started, speaking of start before you're ready, before my business was Pine Gate Road, it was called The Diary of Kelsey Crumgate.
I love it.
Like the lamest thing ever. But then I switched it. It kind of sounds like a TV show. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it always has been a way to kind of support the life I wanted to live. And I think it's only been recently where probably in the past couple of years where I'm like, my bigger why is bigger than just me. It's like, how can this like thing that I've done for my own life happen to everybody's life, right? Like that's become my bigger why behind there. But okay, so going back to like leaving my corporate job and failing miserably my first year. So basically what happened is I was spending a lot of money and I didn't have a solid plan for growth. So before, clients came so naturally and I never had to try to go find a client when I was working full-time. Like they just came and it was always extra money, right? It was something that was like additional on the side. It felt really fun to get that, but I had no actual knowledge of how to run a business. I knew how to design. I knew how to work with clients, but I did not have a solid process. I didn't know how to actually do like a sales call. I didn't know how to do marketing properly. I just really didn't know how to do anything properly in a business, and especially an online business. And so I kind of was just like floundering, hoping things landed in my inbox and posting on social media, but like not really knowing how to attract the right people. And I was investing in like, I had a VA that was doing my podcast, but I was spending like $700 to $1,000 a month, like on this podcast that like probably wasn't reaching people and it wasn't attracting the right people. It's just like all of these actions were not adding up. I also was like, I'm going to start a course and I'm going to start this podcast and I'm going to like do this and this and this. And so I took a lot of busy action that didn't really add up to building a solid business. And so I felt really busy. I felt really stressed out. I was getting some clients here and there, but I was really floundering that first year. And so I actually, 1 year into building my business full-time, I ended up with like $200 in my bank account. And my husband was like, you've got to go find a full-time job. Like we have to go pay our mortgage and our rent. Like we can't make this happen. And so I kind of had a mental breakdown because, you know, this was like my baby, like this was my biggest dream ever. And I was failing at it. So it was a really, still to this day. And I mean, people have gone through hard stuff, but for some reason that was like the biggest blow to my ego that I've ever had. And like one of the most mentally difficult things that I had worked through, just because I think as kind of like an Enneagram type 3 achiever human, it was like this thing that I believed in so hard was like failing in front of my face. And that was really hard to see. Basically I started looking for jobs. And I actually applied to go work for Marie Forleo, and I got to like,
no way.
So I was like, okay, well, if I can like, I can go work for Marie Forleo, like I stand for her mission. Like maybe that's a job I can get behind. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up like getting all the way to the top positions and they chose somebody else and not me. And I was like, I guess I have to go all in on myself. So it was like this, I don't know. This is like a weird story, but, so
I love hearing it all because the entire time in the back of my head, I'm like, I was there. Yeah, even the like final candidate didn't get chosen and I was going to leave my business. I was there.
Yep.
It's so relatable. Yeah.
I was like, okay, my plan B is like going all in my business. And I did. And what actually happened is the choices I had was I was going to go work at the grocery store, that I could walk to, like that was next door to my house, and be like a cashier or something. Or I was going to give myself like, okay, I need to make money this week, right? Like I only had enough for like that week. And I was like, what can I do to make money this week? And I just heads down, emailed every single person I knew, went on Craigslist. I was like, anybody need somebody to like hold a light bulb at a photo shoot? I will do it. Like, I just was like, how can I make money? And I just kind of like hustled, reached out, was like super active. I was burning out for sure. And I ended up like slowly getting some, it was actually pretty quickly because my head was so down. And then by December I looked up and I realized that like I was booking all of these projects and all of these things and working on incredible like retainer accounts just from like all of that beginning reaching out and just being like, hey, I'm in a hard place. Like I would love to do this work. what do you have for me? Right. And so then December happened and I looked at my bank account and I had made $16,000 that month.
Wow.
And I was like, what in the world? Yeah. Like, I just like, couldn't even believe it.
That's so amazing.
Yeah. That was like, okay. Like now I clearly know how, to get money when I need it. Right. Like I started believing in my ability to create revenue, for myself, for my business when I needed it. And that only came from me being in that really down place that last August. So that was cool. But I also knew, I was like, I'm so burnt out. I'm working so hard. Like I can't keep going like this. And so that is when I actually invested in a mentor who did support me, in kind of like learning some of the, how to actually hand things off to team in a right way. In a weird way, she was kind of like my business therapist, because I got to work through so much of the mindset stuff that comes with growing a business and leading a team, and setting boundaries and really forming that business that you actually love. And that's where I got to integrate a lot of my, like, my lifestyle stuff and like really making the decisions to add up to the life I wanted to live. And yeah, I just kind of like kept growing and scaling from there.
Wow.
There's my story.
Incredible story.
Yes. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
You're welcome. Yeah. It's one of my pivotal moments, I guess.
I don't know. I was reading yesterday about like, I mean, it was something unrelated to design, but it was saying like, how can you know what joy is unless you've been through the opposite? You know, like how can you know what growth is unless you've been stagnant? So I feel like there is that like dichotomy, to use a fancy word, of like, especially in business, like when you go 3 months without a single inquiry and then after that 3 months, you get three in one day or something, that just happened to me. And so that, like, I mean, and the variable income and the, like, the waves of, like, you know, confidence and imposter syndrome. And I definitely feel like that has been something that has been very salient for me this year, is just that inconsistency. But the mindset is what really helps you get through it, because you just truly have to believe that there is money out there waiting for you and that you can take it and grab it and then reinvest in yourself and grow. And that definitely is just what your story made me think of, Kelsey.
Yeah. And I think I know now that like that hustle period really showed me that like I can actually go do something actively to go get clients when I need it. And so that was like my one way, and I now have different ways. And I think that that is really something that changes the game for a lot of entrepreneurs, because I think that sometimes we're passively waiting for things to show up for us or for inquiries to come in our inbox. And I think if we can have, we figured out a way that works for us to go actively go get new clients, things can really change when you figure that out. And that again does take that, like, start before you're ready, like go out there and have those conversations, like send the emails, reach out, don't be afraid of the rejection, because you're doing it to actually like grow your business and support people with the wonderful services that you provide.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this, and going back to what you were saying earlier about like you were spending all this money and trying to get clients that way, like in the more passive way.
Yeah,
I've been there. Like I hired an Instagram social media person thinking like that's where my people are and like this is how I can reach them, and spend a lot of money on that and other venues too, until I found what actually works for me. But for the longest time, especially before business coaching, I was just shooting in the dark, like just spending money and not getting the results that I wanted. And that's something, Kelsey, that you teach a lot in various different ways, because it does depend on like what type of person you are and like what kind of, where are your people at? Like for me, it's LinkedIn.
Oh, yeah.
And you're able to like teach your students like all the various ways that they can proactively go look out for these clients, as opposed to just like waiting for their, you know, inquiry in their inbox.
Totally. Because it comes down, here's the thing, like our tools that we have around us are always going to change. Like you use LinkedIn, I use Instagram, but like we're literally just having conversations with people who potentially need our services. And we're identifying like what makes them a qualified potential person to maybe even be in a place where they might need our services. And so like, that's just basic business and sales stuff that's been used for years and years and years before the internet. And it's like, how do you translate these same tried and true business principles, marketing principles, sales principles into something like using the tools that we have today? And I love course, like I even have a course that like teaches Pinterest. I love Pinterest, but like, it's not going to save your business. Like we need some of that solid strategy behind your business and just the ways in which you want to live. And it's just deeper than any one tool, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's just, so go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead, Jen.
Oh, I was going to say that is like a great like segue into our next question about mistakes that you see designers make often, because I definitely know that's a mistake that I've made, but Giselle, you can also hop in.
Oh yeah. That's exactly what I was going to say.
We're such great hosts. Yeah. So Kelsey, what's one mistake you constantly see designers make?
Yeah. I mean, I think it is just that like, you know, you're sitting there crossing your fingers, somebody comes and reaches out to you. Man, there are like, honestly, there are so many things. I think another thing is really trying to sell the deliverables that you have in your packages instead of having an actual like sales conversation with people.
This is such a good one.
Yeah. I get people tripped up in this a lot where they'll put all of their information, like all of the deliverables, you get like 5 pages and 3 typefaces and a color palette and blah, blah, blah. And they're like, cool, that's totally going to attract somebody to like purchase my thing. Right. But what people actually want is like, they want to see how a brand or a website is actually going to transform their business and how that's going to transform their life. And you need to have that conversation in person, usually. There's other ways to like implement that and scale it on bigger ways, but at least as you're scaling to your first 6 figures, it's really important to be able to talk about that transformation that you fully give people, talk about the value that your services provide people instead of just like throwing a bunch of information at people and selling the deliverables.
Yeah, absolutely.
That I actually learned really early on from Giselle. You can actually go back and listen to maybe a couple episodes from season 1, but like Giselle was always saying like, okay, yeah, well, I like to paint a picture for my client. I think you were talking about this in regards to selling retainers, Giselle, but like, I always thought that was so cool. And it's something that I definitely learned from you, Giselle. I think it's very, very valuable to reframe the way that you talk about your services in order to put the client in the like the lead role, you know, if we're doing story brand, you know. So
totally.
That made me think of.
Yeah. And I learned that from my coach. So before that, I was like completely clueless. And I think that's why a lot of designers, like I try to encourage designers, like the moment that you have the budget to start investing in business coaching, it will be an actual investment. It is going to come back to you like tenfold.
Yeah.
And I just wish I had done
it
sooner.
Not just saying that as a business coach. I'm like, I right. invest too, because like the same thing. I'm like, I'll never not keep investing, because it just like, you get to learn so many things that people have like trialed and erred over so many years. And then you just get to condense it into like a year or a couple months or something like that. And it's just, it's incredible what you can do as you're piggybacking on more coaching and just learning from other people that way.
Yeah, exactly.
Discovering things that like you can't see. That's one thing that Giselle said to me too. I'm just like having a love fest for Giselle right now, but like love fest moment. We have one every episode. Giselle always says like, you have blind spots, right, in your business. So like there are things that like you could read as many books as you want. You could do as much soul searching as you want. You could do as much journaling as you want, but there are like, it will take you way longer to come to those realizations rather than if you just hired a business coach who you feel aligned with and like, you know, has similar values to you. And they can be like, hey, I'm seeing this thing in your business and the way that you're doing things that I just don't feel like aligns with the goals that you told me about, you know, and mm-hmm. that's invaluable. There's nothing more valuable than that to me, at least.
Yeah.
We exactly. all need it.
yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so I want to talk a little bit more about when you were like really trying hard to build revenue in your business, Kelsey, and then mm-hmm. just getting completely burnt out. And what's the difference now as you, you know, are just like bossing it, just, you know, having a team that supports you? And like, what is something like the journey of that for a designer? And of course, like you've taught me this, but I want to hear from your words, and I'd love the audience to hear from your words
too. I need yeah. help with this too. I am in major burnout right now.
I'm like, what specifically did I teach you? But yeah. I think the biggest thing is like, when you think about that future vision, like for me, when I was in that really burnt out place, I was like, this also happened. It was in December. So I was at my in-laws over Christmas. It was like my first Christmas away. Like I'd just gotten married. And we like, I was like editing a website on Christmas morning and like getting text messages from this client. And she is a lovely client and all of the things, but like just all of this stuff was going on. And I was like, why am I doing this on Christmas? Like, this is kind of terrible. So I just vowed to myself that I would never be in that situation again. And what it really comes down to is setting up really clear boundaries and expectations and a process for how you are delivering things and being really upfront about it. So we're really upfront, like a year in advance, that we take December, like 2 weeks around the holidays, just off, and like you cannot get a hold of us as a company. And we build that into our client communication, like as soon as they're booking. And beyond just the process and the boundaries and all of those things, it is building team into your packages early on. So if you don't want to be the one doing the doing, you need to sell a service that includes team costs from the beginning. So I always say, like, if somebody's in this place where they're like overworking and overcommitted, one of the first things that you can do is do an analysis on your offerings and say, if I were to hire out every single part of this process to somebody that would do each part of that, you know, like, what would the developer do? What would the senior designer do? What would a junior designer do? What would a project manager do? And give each one of those things like a very estimated cost based on your process. Create a, like, what would you need to sell this package at in order to not only make a profit, not only pay yourself as a CEO, but also pay the team costs that go into this. And then if you have any overhead costs as well, and then use that as your like base minimum for what you can charge. And so mm-hmm. you can literally do this with your next project. So if you're in a space where you have all of these things like coming on you and you're like, I'm so overwhelmed, you just profit plan your next offering and make sure that you can fit team in there. And even if it's just handing off the development of a website or even packaging up logo files, like you can start small, but at least your packages are formed in a way where, say you did want to go on vacation, like you could leave and still be profitable on the packages that you're selling because you've built that into your packages as you begin.
Yeah, that's such a big one. And that is one, Kelsey, that you taught me. And we went over my packages and you kept telling me like, ooh, is that enough? And that's a big indication of like, I could have done that myself. But then at the end of the day, like I have my business coach to look over the numbers and tell me off of their experience, is that really going to be enough? Like, are you actually putting a profit into this? And then I had to go back and look at my numbers again.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had an experience with this where I just kind of jumped into it and just without like writing out, okay, this is how much it's going to be for copy and development and, you know, just like estimating all of those contractor costs. And I've been in situations where projects have actually costed me money because I didn't mm-hmm. build in enough of that like padding. I mean, you also have to consider taxes, your own salary, like just all the things that Kelsey mentioned, like there's a lot that go into it. And I think that's one of the reasons why sometimes clients don't understand why our services are priced the way they are. It's because like, in order for you to like get a slot on, you know, someone's calendar, like they need to be able to work with a team in order to make that happen, not 6 months in advance, you know, out in the future. Because Kelsey, I'm the same way. I don't really like booking out. I think when clients inquire, they're just really excited to start. They've got momentum. They finally took that step. And then to say like, oh, you know, like, you know, I'm booked out until, you know, January of next year. It's like such a bummer, you know? And like, I don't know. If I was that client and I was like looking for a photographer, I'd be like, okay, I'm just going to go with someone else. You know what I mean? So
I just think as a business, if you're, this is like my view, like, I mean, everybody can have their personal views, but if you're booking out, it's like, you're just missing growth opportunities. And so it's like, you're choosing to do that. It's fine if you want to, but just know that that's what you're choosing, right?
Yeah, I will say to that too, and this is something I recently experienced. When I built my team, that like this is a team that is like a dream team of mine. I love my team. Well, my UX designer Ella, she's been with me for a while, maybe a year now, and recently she took on a full-time position for a dream job of hers in UX design for a software company. And she'll still be working like some freelance stuff on the side for me. But I was so proud of her. And she told me that a big reason why she got hired was from her portfolio work from the stuff that she did with Wander Design. And so that just goes to show, you know, me building a team gave her an opportunity to get her dream job.
So like in our team, when people, we make sure that everybody is actually loving their jobs, you know, at least for the most part, and that they're super aligned with the lives that they want to be living. Because it's really, really important for me to like make sure that the job opportunities that we do have in our business, like people are actually enjoying what they're doing and that it is like helping them create the life that they want to be living. This goes, you know, it's like, as you're growing a company, like you're almost developing your team and that culture, and the same values that I hold for our clients and our students, like I hold for our team too. It's like, we're developing both sides.
Yes. I 100% agree with that. And I think that's why our team has so much fun working together, because I let our clients know, hey, you know, we take a lot of time off. Our team will be here whenever you need them, and like really communicate that with them, but also communicate that with our team. Like, hey, let me know when you're going to be on vacation. And we have a little team calendar so that whichever one of our contractors is out of office, like at least we know and we can plan projects accordingly, but they never feel like they have to be there for us, and supporting their freedom, just as I want my freedom to be supported. I think it's very fair. And like, they love that too.
I love hearing that. About how you do the shared calendar, Giselle, because I definitely feel like, I mean, if y'all have been listening to the podcast for a while, you listeners, you people that are listening right now, you guys know that I am a couple years behind Giselle as far as like jumping into hiring a team. And I think this past year was the first year that I really, you know, started working with contractors because I hadn't enough work for them. And I would love to hear both of you, Giselle and Kelsey, just kind of going off the outline, but like, just talk more about like the difference and like, I guess the difference between like working with contractors versus working with full-time employees. Cause I know that there's like benefits and there's drawbacks to both. And it's just been something that I've been thinking about recently that like, you know, their contractors, like they're not fully devoted to your business, but at the same time, they're able to like have their own job and like, you know, you're able to get like really good talent, but you know, I don't know if that makes any sense at all, but like, there's just like, there's different things about having different, you know, having contractors versus full-time.
Yeah. So I've actually, Giselle, I think since we've last talked, like I've switched over to employees. Ooh. So it's been like a huge transition. And I think this happened really, I mean, we can get into like the coaching side of the business. Like I grew another business basically since, you know, since launching my agency, and I was really looking like towards the future again. And I designed my contractor team when I was like kind of mapping out, I'm like, okay, how many sales can we handle? How many projects can team handle, et cetera. I was like, great, we're good to get to 1 million. And like that still felt like really, really big. And then I realized $1 million. Like, I was like, what does our business look like as we're scaling to $5 million? And I realized the whole contractor system that I had would break. So I think contractors are amazing to begin with because it's kind of easy, but I'm also learning like employees aren't that different from contractors. And when you do have employees, you get to pick those dedicated hours. You get to actually train them in your different ways, which technically is not allowed for contracting because they're supposed to be coming in as like their own business experts on certain things. Mm-hmm. And so I just realized like I kind of designed the org chart for a $5 million company just as a thought experiment. And I was like, oh gosh, like here's some decisions that I need to be making. And I was like, how many students would we be supporting or how many sales would we be making at $5 million? We'd have like 20 contracted coaches that would be like paid like $500,000. And I was just like, oh, we can get like full-time dedicated people that actually support our clients in these different ways. And we can train them in these different ways because they are employees. And it just made a lot more sense. And so it freaked me out for a while, just because again, like business is not my background, even though it kind of is now. But I just realized I had to make that transition so that we were set up to scale to where we wanted to grow to in the future. And it was a big thing because we did have to like kind of, we had to have a whole transition plan. We had 7 coaches on the team that were no longer going to be like a fit moving forward just because they did want to be contractors. They were also growing their own businesses. And when I looked at the time that I was investing into the company and into like training people, it's like I wanted to be able to train people that were actually going to stay and grow with the business instead of contractors who might like come and go because their priority is building their own business, right? Mm-hmm. So it just kind of came down to that. The design agency still does run as contractors, but we have there's pretty much one designer that we just like work with all of the time. And she's amazing. And we have kind of trained her along the way, but we are making, I haven't scaled the agency because I don't have the people in place all of the time in order to take on the work that I would want to if we scaled. So I've been in this weird transition with the agency where it's been running, it's been really good, it's been thriving, and I haven't been making certain moves because I know that on our team, we don't have certain availability because people are contractors. Right. So I actually literally before this call had a meeting with my finance team and I'm like, we got to run these numbers. Like, should we be switching to a full-time employee on the agency that just like takes ownership over a lot of our stuff? And I think that's where we're going to be heading, because it has worked so well in the coaching side of the business. And it's where we're at. And if I'm making decisions and holding my business back from growing because we have contractors and not employees, like that's a decision I'm making, and I need to actually make that transition, even though it makes me want to kind of like poop my pants because it feels really scary, right? Like,
yeah, starting before you're ready. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that I see myself moving into in the future. Like, I don't think I looked at all my numbers too at the end of last quarter, and I don't think it'll be this year. I started off the year with like, here's my goal in terms of revenue. And last quarter, I was looking at that. I'm like, okay, I hit my numbers. It's great. But the rest of the year, like, I want to take so much time off that it doesn't make sense to have that goal. And so I had to like also go back to that and like see, you know, does my goal actually align with what I actually want, like, and redefine what success means to me, at least for this year. But in the long term, like 5 years from now, I do want to like build that solid team, because, and we'll talk about this shortly, but it is so hard to find the right people for your team. And once you find them, like, you really want to take care of them so that they want to keep working with you. And in that case, like, making them an employee is a lot of a safer bet for both your ends, right? Like the contractor and the agency/studio. So there are definitely, like, if I could if I could afford to hire my team as employees right now, I immediately would.
So here's the thing that I'm actually learning is that it's actually more affordable to have employees. Mm. And it's, I didn't know so many of these things going into it, but usually what we're, I'm paying like expert level contractors to come in, right? Mm. Like they're thousands of dollars for our certain projects. And that's just like one piece of the puzzle. Mm. And so when you're paying like, I don't know how much you got paid at like full-time jobs or whatever, but like I'm in Cleveland, Ohio. So I was like, what are the median salaries of like graphic designers in Cleveland, Ohio? And so this can vary across the country, but like median good salaries for people who have like 5 years experience here are like $50,000, right? Mm-hmm. So that is less than $5,000 per month. And we're paying way more than that for the contractors we currently have. And so I'm looking at that and I'm like, wow, they could be a full-time employee. They could be doing way more than what we're contracting out for because we're just contracting out for pieces and parts of our process. They could be there managing our social media or potentially taking on sales calls or just like working on fun projects for the company itself, like updating our portfolio and like, that can just be a big part of their job. And so there's a lot of these things that I'm letting slide because I'm like, ooh, I don't want to pay for another contractor, but like, what would it look like to have that full support from somebody full time for around $50,000 a year? Right.
Yep.
That's something that I'm really thinking about. And like, I don't know, I can't even believe that that's something that I'm thinking about right now, but you know, looking back at my numbers, I'm in the same, you know, position. Not, I'm sure as far as income, but like I definitely see opportunity for like, okay, what if all the different things that I was hiring out could be taken care of by one person rather than five people, you know? Mm-hmm. And obviously like, you're not going to find someone who is like, well, I don't know. You might find like a unicorn who can do like coding in Liquid and then also brand identity, you know, like I'm not talking about that, but like, I don't know. There's just a lot of design stuff that like, I feel like I could hire out to like a full time, but then at the same time, there's like all this project management stuff and all the support. And I have an amazing VA who I'm so grateful for, but it's like, what would it look like to have a full-time project manager in my business? I almost feel like I would want that more than hiring a designer. Cause mm-hmm. I can at least do the design part, but like, man, to have someone else, I was having a conversation with a friend the other day and she was saying that she just hired a project manager, a contractor, and it changed her life. Mm. So like real quick, like I would love to hear from both of you. Like, what do you think is like the first thing that people should think about hiring? And maybe it's different for everyone. I'm sure it is, but like, what would your advice be? It's like, oh, even if it's someone who's like trying to hire their first contractor, like what would you say to
I usually say
it's whatever's taking up a lot of your time that you don't love doing that can also be done for like more of a junior level hourly rate. So for me, it was like building out our Show It websites, right? Like that was something, it was taking up like 40 hours of my week. I knew anybody who just knew design programs, like I could kind of teach them the Show It side. And I could pay, you know, $20-$25 an hour for them to build out a site and Show It and just make sure I'm looking at it and critiquing it. But like, I didn't have to be doing the doing. And so I always say, start with that thing that's going to give you a lot of time back and leverage the amount of time you're now able to bring in more clients.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is something I also learned from you, Kelsey, is that one of the biggest mistakes that I see or that you've kind of shed light on, and then I've seen it in action, and I was also a victim to this, is that when people first hire their first contractor, they hire something that they like doing. So, you know, for me, like hiring my first designer, when I'm like, I started this business because I like design. So why am I hiring my first hire as a designer when it could be like admin or something that I don't like?
Yeah, I know it can feel kind of confusing because you're like, well, at least I know how to do the design. You almost want to be like, oh, I just need more of me. So you hire somebody mm-hmm. like you, but that's actually one of the worst things that you can do because then you're stuck doing everything you hate.
Right. That's how I feel. Like I've had the pleasure of working with some fantastic designers and I'm just like, oh, I wish I was designing that brand. Like, now I have to go do emails.
Yeah. So always, like, I mean, we have a little quadrant system where we kind of figure this out based on you as a person. But another good next hire is that project manager who's going to take on, first of all, the emotional responsibility of working with your clients, because I know that as what?
I just said, thank the Lord. It's really hard.
Yes. because we all are like, I love our clients so much. But like, when you have all of that emotional responsibility in your brain to serve them at the level that you want to, it can be a lot. And so delegating that emotional responsibility to a project manager or somebody who's dealing with all of the details and you guiding them on how to, you know, properly have an amazing client experience, it can save you so much brain power. And therefore, you get a lot more energy back in your life. So
yeah.
Those were like my two first hires. And then I guess also going to the employee thing, I think it goes the same way. I wouldn't necessarily bring on a full-time project manager. Both of ours are actually contractors, and it works well because it's less time, but it's more of that emotional leadership responsibility. So you do pay them more because they're leading. But when it comes to like maybe hiring that first full-time employee, it is about like maybe hiring the person who's a lower level hourly rate type person to do a lot of that bulk work while you start like being able to take on more sales and projects. But yeah, we have a project manager on our agency side. She's a contractor. And then we have a fractional director of operations in our coaching business, which means she's basically a full-time director of operations, but she works with four clients. So we all split her.
mm-hmm. Yeah. And the project management, like hiring that out for me, like really does protect my energy so that I can do design and, mm-hmm. and be excited to work too. Because one of the biggest things that before project manager was in my life was how just like exhausted I felt answering all these emails and client questions and then getting started with design. And now I get to just like hop straight into ClickUp and do all of my work. And Amanda, my project manager, she'll like Slack me and say, hey, like this person has a question. Like, what should I say? I'm like, oh, that's so much better.
Yeah.
And like, she can even filter my response. So I'll like kind of give it to her, you know, like, you know, word bomb it, and then she can like make it really pretty for me and just send it out.
Exactly.
I need this in my life. I don't have this right now, guys. I have an amazing VA, but like, I feel like PMing is just such a different animal in and of itself. And like you guys said, it is like a leadership role. And like, I don't know. Like, I feel like yesterday I spent a full like hour and a half writing like call recaps and sending action items to clients. I'm like, I need to outsource this. Like,
no,
sadly. I know. It's bad, but like, it's hard to let go of that control. And so I think there's also like a discussion there. I mean, like we could go on forever about that, but like, I personally struggle with like letting go of like letting someone else email my clients. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's a mindset hump I need to get over with that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely think so. But it's something that's so normal. Like trusting other people to take on something that we care so deeply about it's something that has to be learned. And I think you can take baby steps to start learning trust with your people. It's part of the process of like really bringing on team. And it doesn't happen all at once. And so I think just knowing that it's something you're working towards, and again, it's that you're scared, but you're doing it anyway. And you know that you can like build up that trust, like step by step. And then over time, like Janet, our project manager in the agency, like now she like pretty much runs our business. And that didn't happen at first, but like now she does everything so much better than I ever could, that it's just this implicit trust to her. But it took a while.
A really, really important thing to talk about is that like there, it doesn't start out always perfect. And there has to be a certain amount of grace that you give to the people that you bring on, whether they're a contractor or a full-time employee, in the training period. Like even when I was working full-time, I started out in magazines. Like it took me like 3 solid months to like really get my bearings, and like figure out what was going on, you know? And so like, I mean, I'm sure people were just like, oh, she'll get the hang of it. You know, I was an assistant in the design department, but like, I don't know. I think that there's like, there is that mindset shift that needs to happen between like, okay, my previous thought, I feel like I'm still really like caught in this, is that like no one can do it as well as I can. And I know that that's false. Like logically, I know that there are people out there who are way better project managers than me and way better designers than me, you know, like way better, obviously copywriting development, that's easy to like outsource, but it's just those other things where I don't know. There's like, and I'm sure there are other people out there that like resonate with this as well, is that like, oh, it's just, it's so hard to make that leap and to trust, you know, especially if you had a bad experience in the past, like, but it's really the only way to scale. Like there are only so many hours in the day that I have. And one of my biggest goals is spending more of that time with my son. And so like, I have to choose between like whether or not I want to let go or whether I want to work myself into the ground to like continue money that I have. And that's like a really, really hard like place to get to. And I'm definitely there right now for sure.
Yeah. That
sounds like
that,
it's time.
Yeah. That's something that Kelsey actually helped me get through as well, because I had such micromanager tendencies because I cared about the project so much. And Kelsey was just like, nope, you got to let them figure it out and just give them feedback. Yes, it'll take longer in the first place, but over time, they're going to understand like what your expectations are and fulfill them. And it's only a disservice to your contractor if you keep doing the revisions for them. So that's a conversation that Kelsey and I had pretty early on in our mastermind. Yeah.
It can happen. It's like, you only know what you know. And so it just hasn't been proven to you yet. And I even was there. I was like, I mean, I think we all go through it. It's like one of the most common things to do. And then it is just, you have to make that decision. Like, am I going to go through this? It feels hard and weird and uncomfortable, but like, it's going to get me to this better side. And you really truly believe that like that is possible for you.
So what are other things that designers that want to work less and make more have in place? We talked a lot about the team, and we can talk so much more about that. Is there anything else that comes to mind?
So I do think that like at a certain point, you can get into passive income type things. I think I see a lot of designers like not even booking out their own like agency and like done for you services, being like, oh, maybe doing a course or this other thing will just be easier. Like people are saying, I can't afford this bigger package, so maybe I'll just, you know, make a course or sell templates that people can afford. So I think at a certain point that can kind of be a little bit of a trap, because I think there's some business foundations that do need to happen before you get to that place. But yeah, I think you can definitely add on another leg of your business. You can do passive income stuff. You can also add on retainer services that your team can implement that are kind of like next level services for the packages that you're offering people up front. So for web designers, it often looks like maybe Pinterest management, blog management, podcast management, SEO services, things like that. Maybe doing, you know, creating a graphics and being on a design retainer or something like that.
Yeah, that is such a good one too. And I've had a couple of prospects at the time who are now clients during the sales process. They ask like, why is our retainer pricing so high when they could hire someone, another designer for much cheaper? And I let them know, well, it's because you're not just getting one designer, you're getting a team of designers and a creative director that oversees all the detail of the work. So in turn, we also like, our turnaround is a lot faster and our quality of work is a lot higher, and like letting them know the value of what they're paying for rather than like, you know, looking at it from how much is this going to cost me has really helped.
Exactly.
So Kelsey, we would love to hear about the Align Business Academy and the Mastermind.
Yeah. So Align Business Academy was really the, you know, me giving myself everything that I wished I knew I had that terrible first year of, you know, growing my business to the first six figures. So I say it's business foundations, but it's really like, how do you get to a place where you are sustainably making the six figures over and over and over in your creative business? We accept people that are, you know, designers, but also photographers and nutritionists and anybody who's building basically an online business that's service-based or coaching-based. So yeah, it's not just foundational, but it's really filling in all of those gaps, right? That might be happening in your business that are holding you back from reaching the six-figure mark. And we work on a lot of mindset, and we form unique business models. I think that's kind of the biggest thing. It's not, people don't come into this program just building the business that I did, right? Mm-hmm. You come into it saying, how do I want my days to look? How do I want my future to be? And how much income do I need to be making in order to support that life? And how do I build a business that works to create that income with the amount of time that I want to work? And so we work for a year to make sure that that is happening for people in our program. And then the mastermind is really that next level. Like, okay, you've hit the six figures. How do you actually scale to seven figures? This usually is a lot of what we were talking about today with like the team stuff and employees and organizational charts and lots of foundational processes to make sure that your business is really just set up to scale to seven figures while you're still living that life that you want to live. That's always the underlying everything there. So we don't want to be building businesses where we don't enjoy the lives that we have. So yeah. We need to make sure that comes first.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that I love about the Align business is it starts off with, hey, define success. What does that mean for you? What is, you know, your ideal business mean for you? And then kind of giving people the wake up call, like, and let's see how much money you're actually supposed to make to make this happen. And like crunching those numbers and doing those exercises and also having those like group calls. I think you do a online retreat every quarter. Is that right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. So we kind of like recalibrate, right? So like our lives are always changing, our businesses, you know, maybe you hit a really big revenue goal and now you're like, okay, what's next? So we do an online retreat every quarter just to make sure like your numbers are good, your schedule is like realigned, and then you're like setting that vision for your future too.
Yeah. And then speaking of the mastermind, so that one was the one that I was in with Kelsey for a year. And I have to say that I think probably since last April, so over a year ago now, I've been making over 10K every single month in my business. And
yay!
And it's not, and it almost feels effortless. It feels like I'm in a rhythm where like, here's the inquiry, here's the sales call, here's the booking. And it's never like too overwhelming. And so I'm definitely like coasting. And this is because of the mastermind too. Like I've set things in place and there was a lot of work that had to be done at the beginning, but I'm no longer in that stage where, you know, where I was at pre-coaching, where I was just like shooting in the dark. And so, yeah, this is definitely like an amazing experience for anybody that is looking to scale and kind of take reign over their business.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will say, like, if you go to pinegateroad.com, we have /academy or /mastermind. If any of this sounds interesting, we do have like trainings that kind of like go over all of our philosophies and like you can see if this is a fit for you before you decide to like say yes or anything like that. So we have a training for how to scale sustainably to hit six figures year after year. And then the other one is how to design your business to scale to seven figures when you've already been at six figures. So yeah, you can apply and get access to those trainings just to like see what's up.
Yeah. I think I've seen one of those trainings. I think you do one where it's just like a freebie and it's pre-recorded. Is that the ideas on 5K services or something like that?
Oh, so that is, that's just like a free opt-in that I have.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is, it's like 25 profitable offerings. So it's like different ways that you can build services into your business to reach 10K months. Like every single idea gives you 10K months while not working. Yeah.
I highly, highly recommend to at least check that out, but definitely check out the Align Business. Talk to Kelsey. She's always super friendly online on Instagram.
Yes, I'm always there.
And you love voice recordings or like voice memos too. So,
oh my gosh. Yes, I do. Yeah.
So reach out. We keep losing Jen, so she might not be here for our inbox question. We're having lots of Wi-Fi issues on this recording today, but we're making it through. So Kelsey, at the end of each episode, we have an inbox question that we like to answer from a listener. And I'll just get started. So Jessica Robinson asks, how do you get the client to agree the project is finished? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah. So I do. I think it's like, every step along the project, like you guide the next things that are going to be happening. And I think even in the contract, like this sets up from day one, like what is part of your project and like, when is it concluded? Right. So for example, for our design or our web design projects, we have, you know, we launch the site and then we have 30 days of post-launch support. So the day it launches, Janet, our project manager, will say like, congratulations, you've launched. We'll send welcome gifts, confetti, all the things. And then she says, this starts your 30 days of post-launch support. Like if you have any questions, any like, you know, there's always like weird little tweaks with the site after you launch, like a link is missing or just something, like it just always happens. So if there's anything like that, or they have questions, we give them 30 days with our team. And then they know after that, that they do not get the additional support. So I think just clearly sharing that up front and being okay with setting those boundaries, even though it can seem like, oh, like I'm setting a boundary, somebody's going to hate me because I'm setting it. It's just knowing that, you know, you're doing that so that they clearly know the expectations of when you're starting, what's included, and when you're done, and then communicating that along the way.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. That's what's worked for me, is always having those boundaries and letting the client know, like, this is what you booked, and here's the step that we're at now, and here's the next step coming up. And, also, if like they do want more done, I guess, after the project is finished, you can let them know, I'm happy to do that for you. Shall we look at packages for like a retainer or something like that? So letting them know like, oh, you're asking for something that requires another payment.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
I mean, one thing I guess that came up for me real quick is that I was very timid when I first started setting this boundary. And something that helped me to at least get started and like put it out is to have a canned email that says something like that for like a client approval after, for example, a branding project, when they approve something or I'm sending them like a feedback request or something like that. And I would like click send and hide under my desk basically. But the more you do it, the more you like become really comfortable with it. And now I have no problem just like going like off script and like responding and setting boundaries that way.
That is so good. Yeah. Like I am definitely like working on just sending it, not really being nervous about it, and just knowing that like I am allowed to set boundaries in my business. It's for my own mental health. And you know what? My clients have actually recently been saying, wow, I really love how you give me deadlines for things. And I was so afraid to start doing that. Like I was like, oh my gosh, they're going to think I'm pressuring them or, you know, whatever. Like most people are really grateful for that. And that's something that has been just like a really big eye-opener for me, that like, oh wait, they actually want me to tell them what to do. Okay.
Yes. I know, I'm always appreciative of deadlines.
Yeah. I think like people just like to have, like people like to be led, and especially entrepreneurs, like a lot of us are working with people who are running small businesses or, you know, maybe even people who have like larger teams. Like they don't have time to be the leader of your project. And that's why they hired you, you know? So like they would just, you know, form their own team and be the leader on that project internally if they wanted to do that. And it's just nice to have someone guide you through the process and tell you what to do, because it just makes everything just so much more simple and more efficient. Like I notice even in the language that I use when I write emails, I don't say like, oh, like, is this okay? Or is it okay if XYZ, or, you know, I would love to, you know, hear your thoughts on that or whatever. I just say, this is due to me by Friday at 5 p.m. And I really intentionally shifted that. And it's just makes the email shorter, first of all, which everyone appreciates. And then second of all, you know, it's just clear and direct. And I mean, it goes back to like what Kelsey was talking about earlier about like hiring team. Like you, once you have a team, you need to lead them, you know, and it's the same way for our clients. Even if you're just starting out as a designer, you don't have a team, that's not even in the future for you, near future at least, like know that your clients are looking to you as their leader and you can show up for them in that way. So there's a little parallel.
Totally.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Kelsey, so much for taking the time and going through the Wi-Fi struggles with us.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So recording. Sorry, guys. Yeah. I'm so sorry that I had to duck out in the last part of the
oh my gosh. It started with me.
I know. Like, I caught around. It.
I'm just shocked that it hasn't happened to me.
I know. It's crazy, but you know, I think people understand. And then, yeah, I just want to say thank you so much, Kelsey, for being here today and for sharing all of your knowledge and value with us. And I know you guys probably talked about Aligned Business Academy and Mastermind and everything, but go check Kelsey out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I have like a huge smile on my face. It's just so fun to hang out with you both. So I really appreciate you taking this time and just hanging out with me today.
Yeah, we appreciate it too. Thanks.
Yes. Thank you. Okay, cool. Well, we're going to wrap up and we will see you guys in the next episode. Thanks so much for hanging out.
Bye.
Bye, guys. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Subscribe wherever you're listening to make sure you don't miss an episode. And we'd be forever grateful if you left us a review on Apple Podcasts. We bet you've got designer friends who'd enjoy it too, so share it with them.
If you'd like to submit an inbox question for us to answer on air or want to get in contact with us directly, email us at inbox@betterbranddesigner.com.
Our Facebook community is one of the most positive, supportive, and fun groups we've ever been a part of. We'd love for you to join us. Search for Better the Brand Designer Podcast on Facebook.
And visit us online at betterbranddesigner.com to learn more about our podcast and snag major discounts on our favorite resources.